All right, take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're talking about the Christian's inheritance, and we've been going over ways to earn the inheritance or ways to earn the reward. And so we've looked at several different things, and last week we started looking at the fact that if you just live a clean life as a child of God, so before salvation, everything that was done is under the blood. It was forgiven, is done under the blood. But after salvation, we have an opportunity to earn an inheritance and a reward. And we can do that by living a clean life as a child of God, being a good testimony. And we find that here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. I'm going to read out to verse 21, and we'll look at a few verses this morning and kind of go over this list. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And again, we talked last week about the difference between the saved person that can do these things versus a lost person that is those things. And we talked about spiritual circumcision. And we're talking about those that are saved in this verse here. If you go back up to verse number 17 or verse number 16, he said, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So we're talking to a saved person where Paul is encouraging them to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. In verse number 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And so, if you're saved today, you have the Spirit of God in you, and if you'll walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, then it'll help you in this thing of clean living. But whenever those things are constantly warring against one another, I mean, there's times you don't want to read your Bible. Your flesh doesn't want to read your Bible. It wants to be entertained by something else, and you have to make yourself read it. And then there's other times where maybe you got out of church and you're on a spiritual high and you feel like reading your Bible and you feel like witnessing and, you know, all those things. But those two are constantly warring against one another. But we're dealing with a saved person here that is capable of doing any of these things that we're about to list here in verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And then he goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And so he's encouraging us as a child of God to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And if you do those things, there's an inheritance that is waiting for you. All right. And one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the next study that we're going to do when we finish this on the Christian's inheritance is going to be on the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to go over that in great detail, but I just want to look at a couple verses real quick. Look at Romans chapter 14, the book of Romans chapter number 14. Every person is going to give an account of the things that they have done in their bodies after salvation. All right. Again, this is not to keep your salvation. It's not to be saved. These things are after salvation. We talked about last week how when God saved you, He freed you from the bondage of sin. No longer does it have you captive, but you're still capable in your old man in the flesh of sinning and doing things you ought not to do. But one day you're going to give an account for that. These folks that think that just because you're saved, you have a license to sin, are in for a big awakening when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And they say, "Well, I thought I could do whatever I want because I'm saved by grace." And the fact is that you're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to give an account of everything you did in your body after salvation. And we see that here in these verses. Look with me in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. All right, the Bible says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." This is the judgment for those that are saved, the judgment for Christians. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." We're all going to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Our prayer for folks, especially younger folks, I pray that they get saved at a young age, that they fall in love with the Lord. It'll keep them from a lifetime of heartache. You say, are things going to be bad? Yeah, things are going to be bad at times. We're living in this whole sinful world and we're having to deal with other people in flesh. But man, the prayers would be that they get saved and fall in love with the Lord. I mean, just fall in love with Him and want to walk after the Spirit and not have a desire to get involved in sin and the things of this flesh. It'll just mess you up. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And again, we're going to go into more detail on this later. We've got a whole lesson that we'll work on for several weeks on the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in His Spirit. No. Yeah, it's His body. It's not the Spirit. It's not the soul. That's the saved part of you. Your soul is sealed under the day of redemption. The soul is perfect. The soul cannot sin anymore. And that's because of spiritual circumcision. But you will give an account of everything that you have done after salvation in your body. According to that, He hath done, whether it be good or bad. I mean, the good, the bad, all of it's going to be judged that day. And we're going to stand before Christ. And as a child of God, we ought to hold ourselves to a higher standard, because the Bible holds us to a higher standard. We ought to hold our Christian walk and our marriage and our families to a higher standard. And you say, well, is it lawful for me to do some of these things? Yeah, it is. According to the world's eyes and according to some other people, it's lawful for you to do those things. But it's against God and His Word. And He doesn't want the child of God doing those things that we're about to mention here in just a minute. We're going to go over these in detail. And so we're all going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that judgment day and give an account for everything that we've done in our bodies. We just read there, whether it be good or whether it be bad.
All right. Just the first part of the next verse. Knowing that, Paul knowing that, look what he says in verse 11.
Yeah, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
He's telling you
that. Yeah, and this is dealing with the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment. People that go through their Christian walk, their Christian life, just nonchalant, and they're thankful. I've heard people say to me before, well, I'm saved, and I'm thankful I'm saved, but I don't have any desire to do anything for God. I don't have any desire to try to live right and do right. Just give me a cabin over in the corner of glory. That's all I want. Well, when you stand before Christ and see the nail prints in His hands, the Bible says the wounds in His hands. They're not scars. They're wounds that you're going to be able to see in His hands and realize what He did for us. And I believe that'll be a very humbling day. The tears will not be wiped away till after those judgments are done. I think there's going to be a lot of tears shed just out of regret for what we've done to our Savior, not only our Savior, but fellow believers and friends and churches and families or whatever. And so these rewards are going to be handed out. Look at I'm just going to read the verses about the judgment seat real quick. Again, we got a whole entire study we're going to do on this when we finish this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go back one book, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm showing you all this so that you can understand that we have an opportunity. It's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to be able to do right. There's those that say that if you're saved and you have standards, Bible standards, and you try to live right and do right, that it's a dread and man, what a miserable life you have to lead and you're not ever going to have any fun. It's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord. It's a privilege and an honor. And you're probably going to hear this again in the morning service during the message at some point. But it's always bothered me when people come or call the church and they say, what do you have for my family? What do you have for my children? What kind of Bible programs or what kind of things or events or whatever do you have for them? And my response to him is, if you're a child of God, what do you have for God? I'm not interested in entertaining anybody's children.
Amen.
I'm not interested in entertaining any people.
Right.
The church is supposed to be a place where we come to prepare our hearts and stay right with God so that we can withstand the fight of this world.
Yes.
It's not a place to entertain people. But churches today have turned into, what do you have for me? Mm-hmm. What do you have for my children? And my answer is, I have the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's what we have.
Amen.
We don't have, you know, and I'm not interested in it. Some of you might be, I don't know, but I'm not interested in entertaining anybody, entertaining their children or anything. We're here to please God. And what a great opportunity we have. I mean, when we start reading our Bible over again in January, and I'm so encouraged by all the ones that have read their Bible through this year and followed along, and you say, well, you know, you want to get the text, but you don't always respond to it, and that's fine, but I'm encouraged by the ones that respond with the daily answer. Not because I'm trying to keep track of anybody, but I'm just encouraged to know that people are reading their Bible, and I'm encouraged to know that I'm putting all this time into making these up. I don't download those offline. I make them up every week. I get on there and I look up in my Bible and I read through and try to find the answers, questions. So I'm encouraged when people do that, because I'm like, well, somebody's following along. So I'm thankful for that. But when we start over again, go read in Exodus when God's setting up the temple and He's telling them how to come to church. And I'm thankful we're not under the law.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thankful we don't have to do that. Like, if you came in the front door, you got to go out the back door. You can't come back in the same door you came in. You know, all those rules that they had. And I'm thankful we're not under that. Christ made us free from the law. And I'm not trying to put us back under the law. I'm saying after salvation, we get the privilege and the honor to be able to serve God how He wants to be served. And so, but go back and look at that. And it was not God telling them, y'all come to the temple and you do it however you want to do it. I mean, we'll have a program for the kids here. And we'll have this for the young adults. And we'll have this for the older couples. And we'll have this small group over here. Whatever pleases you, God said, when you come into the temple, just do it however you want to do. However you want to dress, however you want to look. Now, He had everything down to a T. And again, they were under the law, I understand that. But Aaron and his sons, I mean, down to every button that was on their clothing, they were told what to do. Why? Because that's what pleased God. And so after salvation, we have an opportunity, a privilege. I don't think it's something that you say, we don't have to do that. No, you don't have to, but you're going to give an account for it.
Nah.
It doesn't affect your salvation. No, you're just as saved as you were the day you got saved. Regardless of how you live or how you dress or whatever the case might be, you're a bad testimony in ways. But it's a privilege and an honor to be able to live right for Him.
Amen.
Right? And when we come to church, it ought to be an attitude of, Lord, I'm coming here, and we want to have church in the way that pleases You.
Amen.
They want to know, what kind of music do you have? Music that pleases God. What's that? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Amen.
Amen. Not contemporary Christian music. I don't see CCM in that verse. It says songs, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Amen.
Right? But is that not true? Most churches, they bring people in and say, what can we do to make You happy?
Right.
When we ought to come and say, Lord, what can we do to make You happy?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to dress a certain way for a few hours and try to dress right during the week and try to listen to the right music just to please Him? Well, I'll do that. He saved me. He's been good to me.
Yeah.
Talking about walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so we're all going to stand before this great judgment seat of Christ. And again, we're going to go over it in great detail. The whole next lesson of several weeks is going to be on the judgment seat of Christ. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verse number 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Again, we're not talking about losing your salvation. But everything you've done in your body after salvation will be judged. And it will go through a fire. And everything you did for yourself, everything that was selfish, everything that was wicked, everything that you didn't get right with God and make right, or whatever the case might be, is going to burn up. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, is what He told us in the book of Galatians. And so, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Again, we're dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. And everything you do in your body is going to be burned up. if it was done for selfish reasons, if it was wrong, if it wasn't clean, it's all. So your life is going to be demonstrated going through a fire. And whatever you did for God, whatever you did with the right heart for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come out on the other side as some kind of precious jewel, precious stone. And everything else is going to be burned up.
Can you imagine after we go through all this, God's like, all right, I'm about to put it all through the fire now. And y'all talk about the test you're taking for your Bible Institute.
Yeah.
You're thinking, well, I wonder how this is going to come out. And if you see your words go through there, probably have a little bit of, well, I hope it was done right.
Yeah.
I hope it was the Lord. I hope, you know, can you imagine at that moment?
I was listening to Lester Roloff preach this morning. I mean, he's a great man of God. And he had already been preaching for 20 or 30 years or whatever when he preached this message, however long it was. And he goes, I'm afraid that everything I've done up to right now is going to burn up. I'm like, good night. Look at all the things he's done. But he said, I'm afraid it wasn't good enough for him, or that I might have had a selfish motive in it, or that my pride might have been involved. He's like, I'm afraid it's going to burn up. And I said, man, and you know, we're not supposed to compare ourselves with other men, but I wouldn't want to stand behind him.
Amen.
Amen. You talk about standing in line behind somebody. I know Jesus Christ is our standard, and that's what we ought to try to compare ourselves to. And we're all short, but we ought to strive to have the mind of Christ and to be like him. But there's some men and women that, man, you get up there in line, and it's almost like... I remember when I played basketball, we'd go through these shooting drills and stuff, and there were certain guys you did not want to be in line behind because they were really, really good. And they were so good, even if you were mediocre, it made you look bad. I mean, it just made you look bad. You would always try to get in front of that guy that never made anything. That way, when you made some of them, you kind of look good, right? And again, we're not comparing ourselves to men, but I'm saying there's some people that I wouldn't want to stand up there with. But when that day comes, it's just you and Jesus. There's nobody else. It's just you and him. And understanding what all you did for him in your body or didn't do. Go back to Galatians 5:19. So, with all that being said, and I've got to go through this quick because I've only got about 10 minutes. If we can earn an inheritance by clean living, and if we're given a list of things that the children of God, as a child of God, you should not do, and if you don't do these things, then you can be considered to have been living a clean life, then I would want to know what these were. All right? So I'm going to go over every one of them quickly. All right? What each one of these things are. Because the Bible tells us that we shouldn't walk after the flesh. And I think that every sin you could imagine is covered in this list somewhere. Okay? I believe we could put it in one of these categories, every sin of the flesh. Okay? I'd want to know what these things were. Okay? And you say, well, some of these are worse than others. In our eyes, they are. But in God's eyes, you're not living clean if your heart's wrong. Right? All right, so let's go through this list and go through here, like I said, quickly. I'm just going to kind of read off what each one of them is. Some of them are self-explanatory, but let's cover them. So we're talking about earning inheritance by clean living. All right, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery. Okay? That's the joining of flesh between two people that are married to someone else. Okay? Two people that are married, joining flesh with someone else that you're not married to. Okay? Now, you could say, and I realize what I'm about to say could fall under another category here, because it does. But the Bible talks about committing adultery in our heart. So we could do that, and God look at it and say, he just committed adultery. And nobody else around you ever knew it. But God knew you did because you did it in your heart and your mind. All right? But that's covered under here under another category as well. All right? Fornication. That's the joining of flesh outside of marriage. Okay? So that's this mentality that young kids have today of try it before you buy it. And I'm going to live with this woman to see if this is going to work out or not. And we're going to sleep together and live together and just see what happens. That's fornication. That's against what God has. All right. And there's people say, well, how do I know if she's the one? How do I know unless we live together, unless we do all this? Well, you know how you know? You have faith and trust God. Just do right. I mean, just trust God, right? You don't have to try anything out or try to figure it out. Just trust God. All right, the next one, uncleanness. Uncleanness. So adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Now, this uncleanness covers about every sin you could ever think of. Right? Just in that one word. I'm going to read one verse to you real quick. You don't have to turn over there. Romans chapter 1, verse number 24. Romans 1, 24. This is what God says about the sin of homosexuality and not being thankful to God. In Romans 1, 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This is talking about all those sins of unthankfulness, not being thankful to God, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God, of the uncorruptible God into an image like a corruptible man, to birds and all those things. There's a whole lot of things listed in that verse, and homosexuality is one of them. And there's a lot of things mentioned there. Uncleanness. God gave them up unto uncleanness. Okay, so this is something that a saved person is capable of doing. Sometimes people will say to me, I don't know how that person can be saved and do this. You know what the truth is? They didn't walk after the Spirit, they walked after the flesh. And you cannot trust your flesh. A lost man, or a saved man, is just as capable of doing things that a lost man's doing. He's still in his old sinful flesh. Walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Paul said it over and over and over and over and over again to the churches he wrote to. Why? Because you can't trust the flesh. All right, uncleanness. That's a dirty mind, a dirty mouth. I mean, you can go on and on and on of the sin of uncleanness. Just anything that's not clean. The Bible said, what sort of things are pure? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are of a good report? Think upon these things. And so everything you do, every music you listen to, the clothes we wear, we're talking about just living a clean Christian life. Why don't you compare it to the Word of God? Is it honest? Is it true? Is it just? Is it of a good report? I mean, if ladies, if you were to wear a certain attire and go out, would your clothing provoke men to think something they shouldn't? That's not a good report. Amen. And I realize that there's perverts out there that can do anything they want with their mind, but you don't need to help them. You don't need to help them. The music we listen to, the songs we listen to, is it pure? Is it just? Amen? These are all the things that we're supposed to think upon. And so these are the things that lead to uncleanness if we allow the flesh to have its way. And again, we can go on and on with some of this stuff. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, that's wild and loose living. Wild and loose living. That's carrying out the desires of the flesh. Just do whatever you want, man. Just live however you want. Do whatever you want. Partake of whatever you want to partake of. It's just loose living. We have the illustration of the prodigal son who went out and he just lived loose for a while there before he came to himself. While I'm saying all this, I'm thankful that we can get right with God. I'm thankful that we can get right with Him. Now, we're going to reap what we sow. That law is in place. Just because you say, I'm sorry, Lord, and you get your heart right with Him, that you need to do that. Man, do that before you go on another day. And go forward doing right, but you're still going to reap what you sow. That does not change. You're still going to reap what you sow. Idolatry, that's excessive desire for anything that's put ahead of God. That's anything. So you say, well, football. I know football is a great idol here in the state of Alabama. I mean, it's an idol. Why? It's put ahead of God. It's put ahead of God. Hunting can be an idol put ahead of God. I guarantee there's people this morning that are not at church this morning because they're sitting in a deer stand somewhere. Right? Any kind of sport, any kind of activity, any kind of hobby that's put ahead of God can be considered idolatry. All right? Witchcraft. Now, I hope nobody in here is involved with this stuff, but that's dealing with the occult, sorcery, astrology, fortune telling. You know, these people come up and they say, "Hey, what's your sign?" I mean, I have no clue. My sign is the Lord Jesus Christ. My sign was the blood that was applied to the doorpost of my heart. That's my sign. Amen. I'm nobody outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my identity. Amen. That's what it needs to be. And if you're involved with that stuff, that's witchcraft. And you shouldn't be involved with it. An intense dislike for someone. That's hatred. All right. Some of these are self-explanatory, but hey, if me living clean is based off of not doing some of these things, I want to know what they are. Amen. All right. Variance. That's causing dissension or discord. Say, that's just as bad as adultery and fornication. It's in the same list. Amen. Causing problems in the church or stirring up problems, or you're aggravated that somebody got to do something you didn't get to do, or you're upset about something somebody said, and you're running around telling people all that, in the same list as adultery and fornication. And now you're living a life that's not clean, not pleasing to the Lord, because of something in your heart, because of hatred or variance. Emulations, that's striving for recognition by being better than others. I mean, always trying to put somebody else down to make yourself look better. These are all things that can happen in an independent Baptist church, and things we have to be very careful of. Keep our minds on Christ and not on others, and we'll be okay. Wrath, that's an outward show of violence. You know, there's angry people in church. I've known some angry, I mean, I'm talking about wrathful people. They're very angry about, and maybe it's a righteous anger. And what I mean by that is, maybe they're right for being upset at whatever they're mad about. But whatever it is, God can take care of it. And God didn't do it to you. Amen? And just get over it. I mean, who cares? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about us. Strife, that's contending with someone, or contentions between some people. Most homes are probably full of strife. Seditions, that's just stirring up trouble. You ever heard somebody refer to somebody else as being sadistic? Just always stirring up trouble, always poking something, trying to poke and wake the bear up or something. Don't let that be found of you. If anybody ever comes to you with any of these things, just give it to God. Don't pass it on to nobody. Amen. And some of those people, that they have no desire to be straightened out. So what do? Just say, "Hey, I don't want to hear that," and move on. You don't have to rebuke them. You don't have to do any of those things unless God lays it on your heart. But I'm just saying, just leave it there. Say, "Lord, would you help this person? They're full of seditions." Heresy, that's teaching things that are not true. False doctrine. All right? That's rampant in churches today, a high level, all the way in the pulpit, which most of these things, a lot of pastors have problems with. All Christians. Envyings. That envyings is just jealousy, being jealous. Murders and drunkenness. It's pretty self-explanatory. Amen. Again, some of this stuff can happen in the heart. Revelings. That's just disturbing the peace. Always disrupting something. Always stirring something up and just disturbing the peace. I was in a church not long ago, and the pastor said, "It don't matter. Every time we have a business meeting, there's one person that has to disagree with everything I say." I mean, it don't matter. I could agree with her the next time, and she's on the opposite side of it. And she was just on at that time, but she edges every time. You say, "What's that?" That's reveling. That's just trying to disturb the peace and trying to keep things stirred up. And so, if a person is lost, and they do these things, they need to get saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ will wash every one of these away. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If you're lost in here this morning, get saved, and all this stuff is wiped clean. A clean slate. Now, in man's eyes, it might not be a clean slate. And the law of sowing and reaping, might not be a clean slate. You're still got to reap what you sow. But as far as God's concerned, it's a clean slate. I mean, all that stuff is gone. If you're saved and you've done some of these things since you've been saved, all you can do is confess it to God and get right with Him. Get right with Him. Get right with the people around you. Sometimes they'll accept it. Sometimes they won't. And you get up from that point on and do right for whatever the rest of your life is that God's given you. Look with me at Philippians chapter 3 and we'll be done. Philippians chapter 3. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I realize that's a tribulation reference passage, but the truth still stands that if we confess to God and we get right with Him again after salvation, it's not to get saved again, but just to confess to Him and get right with Him, He'll forgive us. Philippians 3, look at verse number 13. All right, Philippians, you say, what do I do if I mess up and stuff happens? I've done some of these things. You ask God to forgive you. Maybe you got to ask some people to forgive you, whatever the case might be. Get it right with God in your heart, and then you do what Paul says right here. Not as though, okay, so verse number 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of, Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Not one of us have arrived. And that's what Paul was saying. Not one of us have arrived. But this one thing I do. Okay? And Paul did not say this one thing have I done. Past tense. He said this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So what are you trying to say, Brother Andrew? In verse number 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what are you trying to say? I'm saying whatever's done has been done. And if you let that thing eat you and fester for the rest of your life, you'll never go on to try to do something for God, to try to have something to represent at the judgment seat of Christ. There's people that have messed up in their life as a Christian, and they have let that be their testimony for the rest of their life. And it's sad. I mean, I've known of pastors that have messed up, and I know my dad knows of some, and man, they, you know, maybe something happened, or maybe something happened in their family or their wife, and, you know, next thing you know, they spent the rest of their life in a bar. Like, my life's done. I messed up. No, I mean, if you're still breathing, get right with God. So maybe I can't preach or maybe I can't teach like I used to be able to because I hurt my testimony. I don't know what God has for you in that aspect, but get up and do something for Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Live out, leave those things behind and get up and press towards the mark. You fell down, stand back up and do something. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thanks for letting me preach a little bit. Dad, would you pray?
Do things probably on the same process of the Lord. And then you get brought up.